Welcome back to the Flatback 4 podcast. In this episode we discuss Declan Rice and the Granny Rule. We discuss the events around Declan Rice picking England over Ireland. And we look at how the Granny Rule benefited Ireland over the years. Okay lads, we're going to talk about Declan Rice and the Granny Rule. A bit of a strange topic this week. So we'll go all the way back to 2018, if you can remember back that far. Declan Rice is an Irish international. He has made 3 friendly appearances for Ireland. Dixon, what did you make from coming through? Did you know much about him when he was coming through at West Ham? Were you excited to see him? He kind of broke through and into the first team around that time. What were you thinking as an Irish fan, first of all?
I remember first time I saw Rice play was at centre-back for West Ham, and he looked a bit lost, but at the same time, he was young and he could see there was something there. And when I heard he was starting to play for Ireland, getting into the squad, you know, I'm not going to say it was exciting times because it's kind of hard to get excited about centre-back, but yeah, I thought this was going to be a Premier League quality centre-back coming into our squad. And then eventually he went on to play, he moved into CDM then the season after, kind of towards the end of that season, he broke through at West Ham, and that's when we saw a real player coming through. So when he got into the squad, yeah, it was good times, and we were looking forward to someone who was going to have a great career in the green jersey. I remember him kissing the badge after a win, and he could play at youth level first, kissing the badge as well. So it's tough to see him play for England. But at the end of the day, he is English, and he chose the three lines.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, I think I actually was excited. Every time I see a Premier League quality player playing for Ireland, that's how kind of poor Ireland are lately, that I got a bit excited to see him. So in late 2018, I think it was, he was omitted from an Ireland squad because Martin O'Neill said he was actually considering England. And then he ended up being omitted from 3 squads, Chrissy. What were you thinking then? I remember going through it and thinking, oh, he's definitely going to represent for England. What were you thinking back then?
Yeah, it's kind of when he's omitted from the squad, you naturally think that there's conversations behind closed doors where he's kind of said, look, I'm thinking about going to England, or I've already made my mind up. I know probably Martin O'Neill's hands are tied at the time, maybe saying that, because he'd probably hang him out to dry at the time if he said that. But I'd say it was all done behind closed doors. He probably said, look, I'm thinking about England and I'm going to go. Just an awful place, I suppose, for Martin O'Neill to be caught into. I think, like, everybody has the same opinion. If you really wanted to play for England, that's who you should have played with to begin with. You know, if you really wanted to play for Ireland, then you would stick and play for Ireland. You know, chopping and changing is for club level. Like, you don't change your country, really, who you play for. Like, you know, it's just ridiculous. So it was just, yeah. I suppose, fans at the time and Irish people, it was kind of like it was now, was frustration, disappointment, because you have to say for Ireland, like, we don't get a lot of top quality players at the top of the Premier League. Like, we really don't. So when we have one there and we lose one, it's heartbreaking, really. And it just, you kind of think, is that the next player that comes along this grade, are they going to do the same thing if they have any bit of lineage to England, or the any relations, that they're going to do the same? So it's definitely an issue for Irish football, and, you know, disappointment and anger, I would say, at the time.
Yeah, 100%. Kenna, he actually, I think he met with Mick McCarthy. You spoke about Martin O'Neill there, Chrissy, that he was kind of caught up in it. Mick McCarthy came in, and he actually met with Mick McCarthy and Robbie Keane, and they were discussing, you know, building a team around him, that he was going to be the future captain of Ireland and all this. And then in February 2019, he pledges to play for England. That hurts. And then in March of that same year, the month after, Kenna, he has his first cap. What do you think of that? And what do you think of England's? England were very quick to give him a cap, weren't they? Especially competitive cap, just so allegiances were definitely changed then. What do you think of that?
Yeah, definitely. I think he had a chance before that whole rule came in of 3 internationals. If O'Neill had just brought him on in one competitive game for 1 minute, even at the time, he would have been nailed on for Irish, you know. And then, you know, I knew this was going to be a good player because he came out of the Chelsea Academy, was released at about 15. But, you know, when players do come out of the Chelsea Academy, they tend to go and have a great career. And you could see if you're playing the Premier League and you're at West Ham, you get excited. And then to have talks with McCarthy and Keane, you know, I thought they would have been able to kind of convince him around it. But, you know, for playing three friendlies and seeing him, seeing Aaron Levine holding the badge, as Dixon said, and then England were very quick to get a cap. Very smart. Very smart, I have to say, to do that, to tie him down. And I don't know how you can go from singing Aaron Levine to, you know, God Save the Queen. It's sick. Absolutely yes. Sick. And, you know, I know he's English, but to go and play for Ireland at youth level, sing then and three friendlies for that, you know, the guy, okay, he may come to Chelsea one day. I still hate him. Absolute disgusting man to do that.
Who'd he come through with, kind of Mason Mount? He was in that kind of bracket, wasn't he?
Yeah, he came through with the likes of Mason, Tammy, those boys.
Callum, oh, yeah.
You know, oh, yeah. Came through with those, yeah. So,
worked, yeah.
But he had a great, like, you know, you're coming through, like, most players that come through that Chelsea Academy, they do go on. So, you know, you're having kind of a little bit of hope that this guy could be good. I know he started at centre-back, but he was still quite tall, strong. And then you go into CDM. He's going to be a big player. You kind of had a feeling about it. England did do that very quick for a reason. And now look at him where he is and linked with big moves and got West Ham into the Europa League. For, you know, he was a big part.
Yeah, there's a couple of things, lads, that I looked into that were happening in the background while he was kind of getting his Ireland caps and when there was the kind of the confusion about whether he was going to play for England or Ireland. David Gold, the co-owner of West Ham, he tweeted and described him as a future England player, and he likened him to Bobby Moore. He said he was going to be the next West Ham player to be captain of England. And obviously he got a bit of a backlash over that, so... Dixon, I think David Gold is clever there, because he's almost pushing for him to be an England player. And if David Gold has a player who plays for West Ham that is an England international rather than an Irish international, you know, it's not the price tag is a big difference. And obviously with England, they get to play in big tournaments. We won't. Yeah. Was that clever by David Gold? And another thing with that, Dixon, Rice got an agent, a new agent at the same time. But that's all going to affect it, isn't it?
100%, yeah. To touch on your first point there, David Gold, obviously an astute businessman. And like you said, West Ham traditionally are a selling club. So if Declan Rice is an England international, he's worth 70, 80 million. If he's an Irish international, he might be worth 25 or 30 tops, I'd say. And yeah, change in agent as well. Like, it was all pointing in one direction for Declan Rice. He was targeting the England squad. He did use Ireland, let's be honest, to propel himself onto the international stage. So it does hurt a bit like that. Like, obviously, we always compare, or we kind of say in the same sentence, Grealish and Rice, but at least Grealish had the decency not to represent us at senior level because he always knew he was good enough to play for England. Whereas Rice was a bit of a snake in the grass and used us at that level to push his career on internationally. And yeah, I think he always had one eye on England, even though he was playing for us, seeing our Ron Devine, as Kenna says.
Chrissy, was his agent right in terms of making him, helping him become an England international? Was that best for the player? Look at future moves. He's obviously going to put himself in the shop window if he's playing for England rather than Ireland. Like I said, big tournaments, you know, he played in the Euros, played in a big role, and they played every game, I think. So was that the best for him as a player?
Yeah, 100%. Like, the agent doesn't care about anybody else. It's literally the player he's representing. And, you know, I suppose Declan Rice playing on the big stage at big tournaments for England is much better than just, you know, maybe going through a qualifying campaign with Ireland, not getting to be in the big tournaments, if we're going to be realistic about it. And then he's starting now for England as well. So it's kind of... probably for his career and propelling him forward, it's the right choice. And it was a real career move. It wasn't kind of a move from the heart. And for Declan Rice, the agent was thinking, how can I get him as wealthy as I can? How can I move on his career as much as I can? And playing for England was always going to be a better option than playing for Ireland. It was a move with your head rather than your heart. And the agent definitely had his best concerns there and probably did the right thing for the player from that point of view.
Yeah, I don't mean to sound like I'm on Declan Rice's side, because, you know, I'm not. I'm just going to be devil's advocate. There is anger here, Ken, isn't there, towards the player? Like you said, kissing the badge, singing the anthem. Basically, the thing that annoys me the most is that Declan Rice has basically stolen three caps from a player, a young player who really wants to play for Ireland, whose dream it is to play for Ireland to get a cap, and he's basically stolen three caps. Ken, I think we spoke before about Mark Noble, and he actually could have played for Ireland. I think there was the granny rule was there somewhere with him as well, but he said he doesn't consider himself Irish, and he wouldn't, and for that reason, he doesn't want to take a cap from an Irish person, you know, an Irish player who would dream it is to play for Ireland. You know what I mean? What do you think of that? And obviously, it's very, very rare to see that from a player like Noble to actually put other people in front of himself, you know?
Yeah, respect. Pure respect for Mark Noble doing that there. Like, he came out and said that properly. Look, I'm English. I don't want to be taking caps off players. He said that straight out. You know, he didn't flirt with the idea or anything like that. So you got to give him massive respect. But as Dixon said, like, you know, with Rice, he used Ireland for the next step. But I respect players. Like, Kevin Nolan was the same. He was offered chances and he was talked to managers, and managers tried to flirt with the idea of getting to him to join with the Irish side. The Irish side would have been half decent back then, with like Trapattoni in charge that time. And, you know, he straight out said no. So these players that have a chance and say no, I respect players that play for Ireland at a junior level, under 19, 17s, under 21s, you're going to be singing the anthem, and then you want to play for England. I just don't understand. And, you know, I can get the point where you're saying, and you're totally right about the money, you know, and the agents there with the money going, you know, your price tag goes up, your wages go up, your career goes higher, you know, because you're going to get bigger moves. Look at Rice now, linked with Chelsea, linked with Man United. West Ham, 100 million price tag on him. Okay, they're not going to get that. But, like, that's how high his value is. And, you know, due to being English, as you say, but I respect Noble big time and Kevin Nolan for saying, look, out straight, no, I'm English. I don't consider myself
Irish. Noble my name, Noble my nature.
Yeah.
Very good, Dixon. What do you think of, obviously you said, like, we liked if... because obviously English players have played for us before, and we'll touch on that in a second, but what do you make of Patrick Bamford? Because he's almost keeping us on a leash. Yeah. Because he's not, he's in the interviews and he's saying, oh, I don't really want to commit to one way or the other. That would annoy me. Like, if he wanted to come play for Ireland and he had a reason why, then that's fair enough. What do you make of that? Do you think he's keeping us on a leash, players like that? And I'm not sure if there's other players, I know there's other players that can currently play for us and that aren't, but I think I've heard interviews with Bamford where he's talking that, look, oh, I'm not going to commit to one way or the other. And that kind of annoys me. Would it annoy you, lads, as well?
100%.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Like, Bamford's the epitome of an English kind of Jack the Lad. So the fact he's keeping us on a leash, like, is just, it's just annoying. Like, do you know what I mean? You kind of get what I'm saying, yeah?
Yeah, he's 27 now. Like, you know, he's had a chance to make his, you know,
Jesus,
you're
that old.
Now, like, you know, I know he's not old, but, you know, the England strikers are quite, you know, from Kane, then they got down to Cavalier, they're quite young. He did play for Ireland under 17s, under 21s as well. You know, he's had many a chance. I know McCarthy tried and failed, and he's holding off. I don't understand it either, but...
Is he holding out for an English cap to see can he get one? Yeah. And then if not, he might play for Ireland. Like, it's like, exactly. He's just waiting for England maybe to give him a cap. And then if not, I'll take Ireland, you know, at some stage. I kind of get that feeling.
And what do you think of that, Chrissy? Because I'm sure players have done that in the past.
Oh, sure. It's ridiculous. You either want to play for England or Ireland. Like, there's no in between. There's no bit of both. I'm caught in between both. It's one or the other. You know, there's no... Yeah. In between, like it's not two clubs where two are trying to sign you and you're thinking about who am I going to go to. You know, you either want to play for Ireland or England. You make your choice and you stick with it and that's it.
It's crazy.
I don't know how you could play underage for Ireland and then not be sure where you want to play senior for Ireland. It doesn't make any sense to me. I can't, you know, be the same if you played underage for England. I can't understand why you'd want then to go and play senior for Ireland. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Play underage, then you've won, obviously, and represent the country at senior level. It doesn't make any sense to me, really.
Well, like, you have to realise, though, these lads are English, right?
Yeah.
And they might not be good enough to get into the youth setups in England, so they go... Like, if you're given an international cap for any country, you'd take it, like.
Mm.
And then when the chance comes for your actual country to call you up senior level, like, you're not going to turn it down. So you do have to look at it from their point of view as well.
Yeah. And he's a young lad when he's in the youth setup as well. He's only, you know, 15, 16. Probably his dad's making him go over to play for Ireland and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But just it's just sure. the but it's the kissing the badge thing and all
that.
That's
all
what
I'm
saying. Yeah. And Kenny, you want to say something there?
Yeah, no, when it comes to the likes of the players like Bamford, and there's a couple of others like Michael Keane and these other boys that played on their level, and like, I don't know, like, just on a personal note, and I'm not just saying that, like, I captained Ireland myself at a young level, singing the anthem with pride, and, you know, my granddad is from Manchester. I could have, let's say, played for England, but and England were, you know, far better side than Ireland in, you know, in water polo, you know, and they always will be, but I would never cross paths, like, you know, you'd never do it. It's just a no. You know, Aaron Levine is for, you know, you sing that with pride for a reason. You don't switch and sing God Save the Bloody Queen. Like Matty Holland with, you know, singing that with Ipswich and Wembley. Like, as good as, and, you know, I'm sure we all love Matty Holland for what he did for Ireland, but to do that, like, come on. Like, you must agree with me, Elliot, yourself there. Like, what do you think? Like, you know, you can't really go from singing Aaron Levine to God Save the Bloody Queen.
Yeah, I agree with all you. Like I said, I know what Dixon's saying, that look, they're football players, they don't really care. Oh, but it's the fact that he's stealing caps from a young Irish player, and an Irish player is not getting a chance, and basically all the hard work that all the FAI put into him and stuff like that, and it goes straight to England. But
but like Elliot there and Dixon and Chrissy, like, quick, like, I have a question there. So as you're saying, he's stealing young caps there, right? These guys that came and played for Ireland, Grealish or Keane, Rice, all these, Bamford, they played for youth level. Are they stealing a place there for a player who's young at the same age that may have been able to get a move to, and may have been scouted to get a move to England in some capacity and get a good move and then progress, maybe get into the Premier League? Are they stealing spots there that scouts could have been watching these other players progress and play for Ireland under level?
It's possible, but I'd say it's unlikely, because if that player isn't in the squad in the first place, they're probably not good enough. So, you know, there's, what, usually 26, 27 in a squad, and you're saying he's going to take one place, but that player is probably the 28th player on the team sheet, so he's probably not good enough to get a chance at that level, say Rice was at. So, look, I'm not on Rice's side here or anything, but I'm just trying to kind of see it from his point of view and a young player's point of view as well. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, we'll move on from Rice, maybe, but just staying on for one more thing, actually. How far do you think he'll go as a player? I think he's a good player. I think he is overrated in terms of the price tags that are being shown around. But I think he is a good player. I think long term, I think he'd be a centre back, because I just think he's a little bit slow passing the ball in midfield. Now, that's just my opinion. And what do you think yourselves?
It kind of depends on how the CDM position evolves, because we've gone from the era of the playmaking CDMs, if you like. Now, they're not totally gone, dead and buried. Like you said, have Sergio Busquets, Toni Kroos, Ruben Neves, even a younger kind of one. But it seems like the fashionable ones now are the destroyers, or the Kantes, people that can cover this ground. And I think Rice is kind of somewhere in between that. So that might help him in a way, like, he can kind of slot into both roles. But if it's going to go the way of the players that can cover the ground really fast, I don't know if he can do it on his own in the center midfield. I think he'll need someone beside him.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Like, I think he does. I think he'll go to the top, though. I think he will go to a top Premier League club and play at a top level. Like, you know, he's one of the best stars there for England in the Euros. I do think for West Ham, he's been sensational with Souček next to him, and he does cover a lot of ground. He's like, you know, he does win the ball and steal, sweep up. But I disagree with the passing, Elliot. I do think he's good at passing the ball and moving the ball fast. I do think with West Ham, he does it quite well.
I think he's good, but I just think at a top level, Ken, I don't think. Now, maybe I could be wrong, but that's where I see long term. I think his long term would be centre back, and that's just me. Like, so maybe that's my. Yeah, fair enough. Chrissy, what do you think yourself?
I think if he gets a big move to a big club, he'll obviously progress. I think if he stays at West Ham and they bump up the price tag and nobody buys him, it'll only kind of not harm his career, but to a certain degree, you know, all the great players that we've seen go to another level, like Van Dijk was brilliant, but he went to another level at Liverpool. You could even say Gary Cahill maybe going from a Bolton maybe to a Chelsea. You know, the players, even if they're good at these kind of lower mid-table clubs, when they get to the top club, they do go that extra level. So I think for him maybe to get to that, he does need to move on to a top four club in the Premier League or even abroad. Like, he needs to make that switch. And then, look, I thought he was great in the Euro final. I thought he had a good Euro. So he definitely has the capability to do it.
Yeah, 100%. So obviously, we spoke about Declan Rice, and the reason he was able to play for us was because of the granny rule. And if you actually look up the granny rule, that was a bit, when I wrote it into Google and it was low and I was a bit afraid of what was going to come up here. But it's basically, if you look it up, it comes up, it's eligibility to play for a country you were not born in. So basically, if your parents or grandparents were born in the country, you can play for them. Is it that, I know it's Declan Rice, we're giving up about Declan Rice here, but is it the rule that needs to change? Because he did play 3 senior appearances for us. So is it the rule more than anything that needs to change? Because it's not just Ireland that are obviously getting done out for this kind of thing. I'm sure other countries are getting that, where they're playing youth football and then they go and play for a different country. You know, there's loads of different examples. Costa as well, I think, played for a couple of different... He represented Brazil as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I think the rule needs to change as well, kind of.
100%. 100%. I think if you play for one nation, you should be... That's it. If you play a friendly or whatever game, if you come on, you know, 93rd minute, if you play 1 minute for one country, I think you should be nailed on for that country. No, none of this 3 friendlies, and then if you can play 3 friendlies for an international side and then get an international cap, doesn't make sense.
Yeah, 100%. So like I said, boys, we've obviously taken advantage of it before, where we've welcomed English players in before. Like, are we being a little bit hypocritical, just to play devil's advocate here? If I'm looking at, we beat England in 1988, and it's one of the most famous, if not the most famous, Irish win ever. There was 3 Irish-born players in the starting lineup: Paddy Bonner, Steve Staunton, and Kevin Moran. In 94, when we beat Italy, probably the second most famous game in Irish history, there was 4 Irish-born starters: Paddy Bonner, Dennis Irwin, Steve Staunton, and Chrissy Doyle. Oh, sorry, Roy Keane. So are we being a bit hypocritical, Chrissy? Because we're letting the boys come in. Like, Matty Holland scored it. Like Kenneth said, he sang God Save the Queen in a playoff game at Wembley. He admitted doing it, but we love him because he scored against Cameroon. And he couldn't be more English. Tony Cascarino was Irish captain, I think, for a while. And he couldn't have a more English Cockney accent. So we're being a little bit hypocritical.
We are, and I think as Ireland as a country, we actually need this rule, because we just don't generate the players that we need. I actually think we need the rule to get the players to be able to compete if we want to get the big tournaments. And I think big Jack Charlton exploited or used it really, really well. And some of our best times that people remember for Irish soccer is his era. And I just remember back, or I was looking at Italia 90, 6 out of 22 players, you know, were Irish born. And you've like Cascarino, Aldridge, Ray Houghton, Andy Townsend, Mick McCarthy. Like, these are some of the biggest players that have played for Ireland, and the difference they made in big tournaments to get us there in the first place, which we struggle to do. So we really, as much as we give out about that rule, we need it, and we probably need to use it a bit better than we have been, to get more players or try to encourage them. I think Jack Charlton maybe was very charismatic, had a great way about, I suppose, getting players to play for Ireland, and we probably need a charismatic character again to kind of get more players to do it, because without them, if we're going to be realistic, as much as I would love just Irish born players, I actually think we need the rule to get the big tournaments and do better. I think Ireland as a country just struggles. But I just throw a question back to you, because I was thinking about it, and just to think the other way, do you think if we use the granny rule, is it a short term advantage where we get these great players, but it harms the long-term development then of Irish soccer, that we're just kind of using a get-out-of-jail card? Or do you think that's kind of contradicting, or would you agree with that?
I think you're right, Chrissy. Yeah, I didn't really think about it like that, but yeah, maybe you're right for the long-term. like even going back to the Jack Charlton, they were like, even Jack Charlton himself, he won the World Cup in England, didn't he, as a player?
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And like, I think you're right, because like I said, Ireland playing that direct football, getting a lot of English players in, it's probably not the best for long-term football for Ireland. But yeah, it's a good point, Chrissy. I never even thought about it like that. But yeah, I actually agree with you there.
It's just like the players, the Irish-born players, like, are we not developing them maybe further, or using players like that further, and we're just kind of getting a quick fix, you know, just poaching a player from abroad. You know, if we got Bamford in now, is that taking away from an Irish-born soccer player that maybe develop and might come to light and might do well?
Mm.
You know, that's just on my mind thinking. But I think at the same time, I go back to my earlier point, I still think we need the granny rule, you know, to kind of get to the big tournaments and do well.
There's that story about Jack Charlton meeting John Aldridge after a Liverpool game. And apparently John Aldridge had great affinity with Ireland, and he had great memories. He lived in Ireland for a while. I can't remember what the story was, but Jack Charlton said to him after game, look, would you fancy playing for Ireland? And John Aldridge said, yeah. And that was it. They were having a drink or something. And John Aldridge goes, actually, see him over there pointing to Ray Houghton, who's obviously Scottish, but he goes, his dad's from Donegal. So he got two for the price of one that day. Just mad the way it was. He went to it. He was having a drink with the lads and the Irish international. We did need it, didn't we, lads? But
yeah,
it's mad how it works. Like, we're happy to take it sometimes. Any other points on that, kind of like, you know, I know there's a lot of players now that could play for Ireland, like, you know, that are English. No,
it is very contradictory, don't get me wrong. But for me, my point would be like, I want Irish players only, really. I want people that want to play for the country, sing the anthem and with pride. I know we go back to some of the greats like Mark Lawrenson. I think we're forgetting they're one of the best players there for Liverpool and Ireland. Kilbane, what did he get? 111 caps for Ireland. Andy Townsend, as you say. And McAteer probably gave us one of our greatest moments there against Holland. So nowadays, like, you know, the players that we could have had from back in the day, we could have had Harry Maguire, Michael Keane, you know, these boys.
Harry Kane,
yeah. James Maddison as well, his Irish grandparents. Callum Wilson had a chance. Cody, Nathan Redmond. Like, the list goes on of what could have, you know, played. Like, I'm not sure, has Maddison got a cap for England, or has he got a, you know, a competitive cap, like, for England? I'm not too sure.
I think he has, yeah.
We had good chances with old play, like, you know, players. I think Kane had a chance to play for Ireland back in 2015. He spoke with O'Neill and then McCarthy afterwards. The Spurs board, kind of similar to Rice, told him, like, you know, no, you're going to hang on there. You're going to get on the England squad, and then England captain now, sure.
Yeah. Does he think it has any... This might be a stupid question, but because obviously Ireland is big into GAA as well, that's kind of our national sport, and England is more kind of concentrated on soccer and like football. Would that affect the Chrissy? Obviously, I know you're big into GAA, and Dixon, you played GAA and soccer. I think that affects it, like, because, you know, people aren't concentrating on other sports. No, they have another big into cricket and stuff over there. What do you think of that? Is that just a stupid statement, question by me, or is there
something? I'd say Chrissy's probably more in a position to answer it, but from my point of view, I don't think so. I think if you love soccer and you're good enough to play soccer, you'll play it. Like, sorry, football. So that's from my thinking anyway. Like, my number one sport growing up was football all the time. So I think there's kids that love GAA and love hurling and love football, but if you have a flair for it, you're going to go for it. And if you're good enough, you're good enough. I don't think it's going to, playing GAA or hurling is going to take away from you playing football, if you know what I mean. But I don't know what Chrissy thinks. He might think differently.
Yeah, Chrissy, what do you think?
No, I think a lot of players actually end up playing both. And I think there's a lot of players that I've heard of that have, you know, kind of played both, and then, you know, if they were strong enough or good enough at soccer, they went and followed it and went over abroad. So I don't really think it's an issue. I think generally there'd be very few players that would just go and play GAA and leave soccer completely. Mm. You know, they would still kind of play both. You know, they'd play GAA in the summer and then soccer throughout the year. And, you know, I don't think it really affects, you know, the players. And I think if they really want to, you know, play soccer, develop, and they want to stick around to it, They will. And there's been plenty of examples of, you know, even look at Seamus Coleman there. I think he played lots of GA and soccer when he was younger, but obviously he had a chance to go abroad and do well with soccer, and he did it. So I think that players will go abroad or will choose soccer if they feel they're good enough to go the full way.
Very interesting stuff, lads.
Thanks for listening to the Flatback 4 podcast. Let us know what you think about the Declan Rice situation and the granny rule.